morning. It's Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. As Baltimore reeled from a surge in homicide since April, Police Commissioner Anthony Batts insisted police are focused and fighting. He said the spike in shootings was driven by 175,000 doses of prescription drugs looted from pharmacies during the rioting.
Criminals are selling those stolen drugs. There are turf wars happening, which are leading to violence and shootings in our city. We have established a task force with our federal counterparts to bring state and federal charges against individuals that committed crimes, harmed our officers, and broke and looted our businesses in our city.
Commissioner Batts said the influx of drugs upset the balance on the streets of Baltimore. So far in June, at least 13 more people have died in homicides in Baltimore. We want to understand the forces at work behind the onslaught of violence and what could stop it. Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis joins me now to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
When Commissioner Batts spoke publicly a week ago, he said that the assessment of pharmacies and drugs looted could still rise. So what's the latest?
Well, it certainly can still rise, and we are keeping in very close contact with the Drug Enforcement Administration. They've been tasked with this federal investigation. We've had 12 pharmacies that were looted, two methadone clinics that were looted. So 175,000 doses of prescription drugs has a dramatic impact on the community. And unfortunately, and Baltimore is not unique in this regard, but there are a small number of bad guys who will take advantage of that plethora of prescription drugs on the streets. And there are some turf battles that have emanated because of it. And there are some geographies that we have not seen impacted as violently as we are seeing now. And we're just leveraging our partnerships with not only the DEA, but with the ATF and the U.S. Marshals Service and the FBI to really get a handle on who's doing what. And we are moving forward in that regard.
Let me pick up on a couple of things. You just said 12 pharmacies looted. I thought that we had said that commissioner had said 27 last week.
He certainly did, and it certainly is 27.
Okay.
27 pharmacies and two methadone clinics, and that's resulted in not only a lot of property damage inside those 27 pharmacies and two methadone clinics, but the prescription drugs, particularly the OxyContin that's now on the street, is very harmful to the community. And we have, I think, approximately 19,000 heroin addicts in the city of Baltimore that have been diagnosed with heroin addictions. And heroin's a lot cheaper than the Oxy, but the Oxy that's now been introduced to the streets of Baltimore has sparked really some challenges for us.
You are Deputy Commissioner of the Investigative and Intelligence Bureau, which I assume means you oversee the homicide detectives, the crime lab, and intelligence gathering teams. What can you tell me about what they are seeing?
Yes, well, it's kind of a fancy title for all the detectives on the agency. So what we're seeing in Baltimore, certainly the gangs and the drug organizations have taken advantage of the prescription drugs that are now out on the streets. So what we've done, and you've probably seen it, especially from the ATF and from the DEA, we've identified several people who looted, and not only looted, but stole prescription drugs and committed arsons. So what we're doing with our federal partners, and I think when we're in the midst of a surge of violence like we are right now, the community wants to know what its police department is doing about it and what relationships the police department is leveraging with the federal government. We're a big city. We're the eighth largest police department in America. And I can say without any hesitation that the Marshals Service, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, DEA and the FBI are fully involved in our crime fight. And it's just a matter of identifying these violent repeat offenders who are known to the police department and have been known to us, and establishing enough probable cause that we do through various investigative techniques to bring them to justice, either in our state courts with our state's attorney's office or to federally prosecute them when we meet that threshold.
Well, you said it's just a matter of identifying. That seems like a really hard thing to do, to identify. I've seen some of the security footage. I'm sure you've seen it all. How do you identify these people?
Well, it's remarkable. And where we are now in the 21st century, it's high-definition video. It's high-definition still shots of people who committed these violent crimes that have harmed our community, particularly West Baltimore. And what we've been doing, and the Crime Stoppers of Maryland has been instrumental, the federal government, the DEA, and the ATF in particular, can enhance the reward money. And some things that you'll see in the coming days are the digital billboards will post the images of these folks who took advantage of our business community and harmed our community. So we're hoping that people will step forward for all the right reasons to identify people that we need to bring to justice, that the community needs to bring to justice. And if people aren't compelled to do that for the right reasons, we've thrown some money out there, and hopefully that'll entice some people to come forward.
You talked about leveraging relationships with other law enforcement agencies, the federal law enforcement agencies. But I presume you also need relationships with the community.
Certainly.
To solve this. And a lot of people say that they've been hurt especially since the Freddie Gray situation and the unrest that followed it. What are you doing to try to get more cooperation from the community? Are you finding it possible?
We are. And this goes back way, way before Freddie Gray. It goes back decades. And in fact, Baltimore has always been challenged by its ability to get witnesses to violent crimes to come forward. And it goes back to the whole
Stop Snitching
campaign. So, and these aren't my words, and I borrowed these from a pastor. He said that the community will only trust its police department when the community knows its police department respects them. So there's been a gap in that level of respect between police officers in Baltimore and certain parts of the community in Baltimore for a long, long time. So Commissioner Batts has come in 2.5 years ago as a reform chief, and he's implemented best practices across the board. In fact, we finished 2014 down in crime, down in murder, second lowest year in decades in murders, and every other measurable that police departments are judged by in the 21st century, Baltimore is still heading in the right direction. Complaints are down. Police-involved shootings are down. Lawsuits are down. Certainly the riots have introduced a new dynamic that we're in the middle of and we're dealing with, but we're going to get back on track and continue to head in the new direction, but it's going to be a new normal.
What do you mean by new normal?
The way we have to interact with our community. We have to treat people with respect at all times. And it's a challenging profession, law enforcement. And there's only about 900,000 cops in America of, 300 million plus people. So us 900,000 cops have got to interact with people and afford them the same level of respect that we would afford our family members. And that goes to just daily interactions with folks. And we are on track to do a better job with that.
How do you know you're on track to do a better job with that?
Training and feedback we're getting from the community since the protests and the riots have taken place. We've got to find a way to enhance our communication with folks on a day-to-day basis, and that's underway.
That's Kevin Davis, Deputy Commissioner of the Baltimore Police Department, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about police efforts to stem the violent crime spike in Baltimore. The Baltimore Sun reported about you that when you were police chief in Anne Arundel County, you came to Baltimore from Anne Arundel. You created community advisory councils, engaged social media, increased the number in the Citizens Police Academy. Are any of those techniques you're planning to try in Baltimore?
All those things are underway in Baltimore. And as you know, I spent my career in Prince George's County, retired from there and went to Anne Arundel, and now I'm in Baltimore. And it's been 5 months. Sometimes it seems like 5 minutes, and sometimes it seems like 5 years. But all those progressive things, those 21st century policing community outreach efforts are well underway in Baltimore, and Commissioner Batts is seeking ways to enhance it. He's dedicated a lieutenant colonel on the police department to really vigorously engage our faith community, and those things are heading forward as well.
You remind me in reminding us of your resume and your long time in Prince George's County. Commissioner Batts has talked about being surprised when he got to Baltimore at the racial tension that he had not felt in Oakland, California. How does it strike you?
Well, I'm a lifelong Marylander, and Prince George's County and Baltimore County share a lot of similarities. They're the two most diverse jurisdictions in the state of Maryland. So I've interacted. I grew up inside the Beltway in Prince George's County, in your hometown now.
And College Park.
Yes, ma'am. and I'm really used to operating in this multicultural dynamic. So I don't think I was necessarily surprised by the the racial dynamic, given my personal background, but there are challenges in communication. And those communication challenges, when they aren't defined, then they can be perceived, and certainly they have been perceived as some disparages between the races.
We have just less than a minute left. Let me get back to the drugs on the street. Greg Mashburn of Safe Streets, a program that tries to interrupt violence in the streets, told us Friday that he's been mediating fights about items stolen, including drugs stolen. Can you get the contraband off the streets, even if you can't arrest the people who took it?
Well, we have recovered some of the contraband, and that's the challenging part. When we see the price, when our undercover detectives see the price of prescription pills going down on the streets of Baltimore, it's a supply and demand game. So that means when the price is down of pills of Oxy, which typically sell for $80 a pill, when those prices dip to lows that we haven't seen in a long, long time, that means that there's a whole lot of those pills on the streets. And we need to continue to try to not only recover those prescription pills, but arrest the people who are selling them to our community.
We are flat out of time. I really appreciate your talking with us.
Thank you, Sheila.
Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis of the Baltimore Police. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Who's next on the show? Wait, don't tell me. It's Peter Sagal. Stay with us.